SBS Radio.
Kent Morris, welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you, Bertrand. Fantastic to be here, and a big hello to all the mob back there all the way from LA.
Yeah, now you're in LA. This is a really exciting and surprising thing. And most surprisingly, the purpose of our conversation today is you've been a regular on our show. You've been here so many times over so many years, but we've known you as the face of the torch, the person who is promoting Indigenous artists, especially the ones who've gone into the big house and out and they're being rehabilitated. And now we didn't know you. You're an artist yourself, and this is your talent that has taken you to the US.
Yeah, that's true. So this is my first exhibition in the United States, and I was fortunate enough to spend 4 weeks at the Kluge-Ru Aboriginal Art Museum, which is the only museum outside of Australia solely dedicated to the art and culture of Aboriginal Australia, and it's in Virginia.
Wow.
It's quite amazing. They've got around 2,000 artworks in their permanent collection, and I was fortunate enough to take an exhibition of mine to exhibit in the museum and to do research of that collection and to get to Washington and really explore and research the art and culture of Native American people as well, and just to see a whole lot of art and exhibitions and meet people and research and study. It's been quite fantastic. And, of course, as wherever I go with my art, the torch comes with me, so I spread the word about the work we're doing with the torch as well, which is of great interest here to people. And just to let people know that, you know, all the work we do is being done by, you know, First Nations Australian artists, supporting others and working towards these kind of goals. But, as you know, the program and our artwork is all intertwined, so this is very good research and study and development for me that I'll bring back to Australia.
Yeah, bring back to these artists you've been supporting for so many years. And, all benefit anyway when you come back. But another reason why we are talking today is you're one of two Victorian finalists for the Telstra Museum of Art Gallery, New Northern Territory. And, you've been one of the finalists. Tell us about this new development.
It's really exciting to be shortlisted this year. This is the fourth year in a row that I've been shortlisted for the Telstra National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Art Awards up in Darwin. So it's a great honour, and I'm really excited. And it's always an extraordinary array of artists, mainly from the northern areas, but there's always a representation of us down here in the southeast as well.
Yeah.
Mixing it up and exchanging our ideas and knowledge and experiences at that incredible event.
Yeah. What art project did you submit to be selected as a finalist?
Since I've been shortlisted, I've noticed each year that it just gets better and better. The competition gets a lot fiercer, There's so many amazing artists we have in this country, of course, and so many fantastic artists, whether they're from remote communities or from regional areas or from urban areas, it's very exciting. So each year I try and do something a little bit different and push the envelope a bit. So this is a rather large work this year that I shot on Nyempa country in Cobar on the way to a family reunion that was being held for my mob in Bourke, and for me it represents the stories of families joining together. So three of my great aunts, three Morris sisters, married three Gordon brothers, and Gordon brothers were all Nyempa men, and my three great aunts, Barkindji women. And so this was a coming together of two families, which is very strong, and it's a huge mob. And just trying to represent through, I guess, technology, the built environment, and of course, as you know, I always work with with our beautiful native birds, trying to represent these kind of stories in a contemporary way and kind of keep them alive and keep them fresh.
Yeah, and you cross the whole continent. So you're based here in the Kulin Nation and you're doing stories about the Barkindji country.
That's right. So my country...
hundreds of kilometres away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it is a long way from Kulin country to the land of Gunu Barkindji people in Bourke, northern Barkindji country. But we go, my partner and I go back as much as we can, and it's always... very important around stories around family and keeping connections to family and country, and it's all gathering together for family reunions and just maintaining our stories and, you know, learning all the time and trying to, you know, support each other to build our knowledge and histories and of course, for the, you know, new generations coming through. And I just like to always, on those trips with my camera, trying to find a way to capture some of these moments and see them represented in areas which where they you wouldn't normally see them. So, you know, I'm working with the built environment, with technology and communication systems, and how native birds interact with that,
yeah,
and how we can kind of renew and refresh our histories and stories in a contemporary way.
Yeah. Your photos are in black and white or colour? Tell us a little bit more about the secrets of your technique.
Look, the secret's always about, for me, working with, you know, with our wonderful native birds, is to get out, you know, get out when they're about. So
yeah,
early morning and late afternoon, up in, you know, northwestern New South Wales.
Yeah.
In the outback, you've just got those beautiful, you know, electric blue skies. So I'm often shooting technological structures against electric blue skies. There's always the involvement of a native bird that carries our stories and a lot of our, you know, family connections and how they're interacting or relating or adapting, you know, to the built environment, to changes.
Yeah.
And I think that really reflects how our culture really has been so adaptive and resilient and strong and being able to change and adapt to changing circumstances, but also to incorporate and utilise technology to our advantage. You know, we have now a lot of language apps to keep language alive. We share a lot of our family histories and knowledge and stories, you know, via the internet and via technology, and how we can mould and shape, I guess, the structures that are there to really support our ways of thinking and our knowledges and the way we view the world, you know?
Yeah. You must spend hours and hours out in nature because birds are not just waiting for you. So you must really spend time and hours, even days, just to capture that one special moment with a specific bird.
Well, look, this is very true. When people see my work, they think I'm spending all this time in front of a computer and they look very surprised when I tell them that I spend 90% of my time walking and listening and following and learning about birds and their habits and walking on country and understanding not only my country but the country of others where I either live or work or have cultural exchange with. So it's important, yeah, to spend time on country and to try and understand the layers of history of that place. You know,
yeah,
not just this 250-year history of colonisation, and often you don't see in the built environment our history,
yeah,
our long,
yeah,
continuous, extraordinary histories are often not visible, or, you know, the layers are either hidden or erased or they've been altered in significant ways. So it's about making sure that we're always aware across the board, across this whole country, that there are significant histories which often aren't seen. And so I'm trying to bring those to the fore as well, and how we view place in a different way. That's different in terms of our long histories and, you know, some of the trials and tribulations of our ancestors, some of the, you know, many of the issues that were faced and many of the strengths and struggles and resilience of our ancestors too, and how we can just keep that alive through presenting our views and our worldview to audiences.
Yeah. And what does this mean for you and the torch being, one of the finalists?
Oh, look, I think what's really been great to see over the 4 years is that, you know, for men and women in the Torch program, they're often keeping their eye on what's happening, you know, with in the art world and what we're doing, the men and women who deliver the program. And so it's always, I guess, encouraging and inspiring, and it's really nice when we catch up and we'll talk about, you know, the Telstra Awards. I try and, as much as I can, get the catalogues from the Telstra Awards and bring them back into the prisons program so the men and women can see the extraordinary, you know, range of artworks being created by men and women from around the country. I think it also means that, you know, for us delivering the program, that it's important for us to keep our culture strong and alive and to be practicing as artists and really maintaining our level of professionalism in that industry that we're then teaching and trying to provide support for, you know, our men and women who are in the prison system but who want to make change in their lives and connect to the arts and to the arts industry. It's an important kind of aspect, I think, in so many ways.
Yeah. And before I let you go, as always, I ask a lot of questions, but I might miss one important key aspect. Anything I might have missed that you want to share with us today?
Well, look, I think what's really, you know, I think the what's important about the awards we have for our community working so diligently across many of the arts is that it really helps to promote our culture. It helps promote excellence within our arts industries. It provides a really healthy exchange for us from around the country to talk and share our experiences and our artworks. And I think it's just another way we can keep... I've been talking about this a lot in America, you know, for Indigenous Australians, how many of the issues we face and many of the challenges we face and the battles we're fighting, we're always pushing an idea of the importance of our knowledges and philosophies and how they must be incorporated and into the structure of our society. And the arts is such a fantastic way to push this kind of idea, I guess, because people are drawn into the works. The works, as you well know, for our art is so extraordinarily diverse but very powerful, and so it brings people in. It's a way for us to really engage and share our stories and try and create change. You know, I think all of us in the arts are pushing towards a way to make change around incorporating our thoughts and our beliefs and our knowledges.
Yeah. Well, Kent Morris, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us and share your story.
Thank you so much. It's great to chat with you, as always, and I look forward to seeing you when I get back to Australia.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.